Guys. I got Chuck Wild Bill, didn't I? Praise the Lord. Oh, goodness. Kind of good to be in the house of the Lord. Huh?
Yes, it is. Praise the Lord.
I can truthfully say I had a better week this week than I had last week. Last week was a very interesting week. Maybe I'll tell you about it sometime. Interesting week. So, today, anybody look at the bulletin? What's the sermon title today? A lot of verses of scripture in there. Lots of stuff to look at. Maybe later on, check up on me, make sure I'm not messing something up. Jesus meets you where you are. Huh? We don't have to clean ourselves up. We don't have to. Jesus meets us where we are. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. See where he's got to go with this. I'm going to show you some examples here in the Bible of some people that Jesus met them right where they were. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before your throne this morning. Father, we look to you. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. You're the author and the finisher of this book. Father, we just want to look at your word. We want to know you more. We want to know more about who you are, how you relate to us, and just how much you love us, Father. Father, just press that upon our hearts today. You are God all by yourself. There is none beside you. Nothing can touch you. You are so high and so mighty and so God. But you love us, Father. Each and every one here, you love. I just thank you for that, Father. Press that upon our hearts, Father. We know that you love us. Father, be with me. Just speak through me. Use my mouth to bring across what you want brought across. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. Cool. So we're going to start in John chapter 11. I'm going to go there. Am I too loud or does that seem all right? Good? Too big a mouth? Yeah, me and Doug has got the same problem. You know what I'm saying? I think we got the same problem. But I wanted to show you some people. It's been on my heart. It was interesting. Matt Wiseman preached last Sunday. And when he preached last Sunday, the Lord gave me this sermon while he was preaching. I thought, wow, that's pretty impressive. You know what I mean? I could have probably got up here and preached last Sunday. It was like, that's pretty impressive. And then I looked all week and I thought, well, I know why I did it, because there was so much stuff I would have missed if I wouldn't have done it. Wouldn't have studied for a week. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to start in John chapter 11. We're going to look at a couple people. See the bulletin says Thomas? When I say Thomas, what do you think? What?
Doubting?
Thomas the doubter? I think Thomas gets a bum rap. He's not seen too much. He's seen in all four books of the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He is called, what, Thomas Didymus? You know what Didymus means? It means he was a twin. He's a twin. He either had a brother or a sister. He was a twin. He was just born a twin. That's what Didymus means, pretty simple. But Thomas, doubting Thomas, is kind of interesting. He's not talked about much. We see him a little bit in John, and I want to look at a couple things. You don't see much of him, but here in John, we're going to start in chapter 11. In verse 7, we've read this before and looked at this, but I want you to see something here. I think I gave you some background on this months and months ago when Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He left. They left where Lazarus and his sisters lived because they were trying to kill Jesus. They wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill the dude, okay? So usually, if somebody's trying to kill you, you probably leave, right? That's what I would do, right? I'll leave, right? Well, now they're having kind of a revival thing going. You know, this is pretty cool. Nobody's trying to kill them. They're preaching and going on. And then they come to this point where Lazarus gets sick, and they send people to tell him, say, hey, Jesus, that guy you love, your brother, the guy you love is sick. So after all that, Jesus goes in verse 7 and says, I won't read the whole thing, but verse 7 says, then after that interval, he said to his disciples, let us go back again to Judea. And what's the disciples say? And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews only recently were intending and trying to stone you. They were going to kill you, brother. You're thinking of going back there again? Really? Are you stupid? That's the paraphrase. Are you stupid? Huh? And then Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? Anyone who walks about in the daytime does not stumble because he sees by the light of this world. But if anyone walks about in the night, he does stumble because there is no light in him. He said these things and then added, our friend Lazarus is at rest and sleeping. But I am going there that I may awaken him from his sleep. The disciples answered, "Lord, if he's sleeping, he'll recover." And if you get, you know, when you're sick, when you sleep, you get better, right? You feel better, you get better, right? However, verse 13, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he referred to his falling into refreshing and natural sleep. So then Jesus told them plainly, he said, "Lazarus is dead. He's dead. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there. It will help you to believe. However, let us go to him." And verse 16 is what I want you to see. Then Thomas, Didymus, doubter, doubting Thomas, who was called the twin, Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go too, that we may be killed along with him." Is that an arrogant boast, or what is that? Thomas was a pessimist. He was a pessimist. He was the kind of guy that sees the glass half empty. Okay? He sees the day like today is like, it's raining. I can do nothing today. It's raining. I didn't want to get out of bed. I want to stay. I don't want to go to church. It's raining. That's Thomas. But you know, things touched his heart more so than it did his other disciples. And that's where Thomas is at. He was a pessimist. He was a very heroic pessimist. This verse here, verse 16, shows me, if you do, there's a bunch of psychiatric stuff. I'm not a very intelligent guy when it comes to that. You can do psychiatric evaluation on people. And I read some things on this. It says, you know, he would rather have died with Jesus than to have been without him. Wow. It's pretty impressive, isn't it? Would you rather die with your spouse than to live here without him? And that's the best thing I can. I mean, you know, someone you really love, someone you care for that much, I'd rather die with you than be here without you. That was Thomas. That was Thomas. Okay, let's go on. Let's go look at Thomas. He only happens a couple times here in the book of John. Let's go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And this is after the crucifixion. This is after the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection. This is after he had showed himself to Mary. He had showed himself to the disciples. The 11 disciples. Okay, the 11 disciples are in this room locked in. Matt says, he's all locked in there, and all of a sudden, "Howdy. How you doing?" Jesus just shows up. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool to have a resurrected body? You guys talking about me? I'm right here. Yeah, where'd he come from? Yeah, that was Jesus. He's there. He showed himself to him. Where was Thomas? Where was Thomas? He wasn't there, was he? Was he like, didn't want to be with them guys anymore? I don't like them guys. I don't want to be around. No. Thomas was so hurt. Thomas was so grieved that Jesus had died. He just wanted to be by himself. He wanted to be all alone. He wanted to just sit. Oh, this is. He didn't want to live without Jesus. Okay, this is where he's at, and I'm going to show you why this is true, because this comes into play here. We're going to look at John chapter 20, and we're going to start verse 24. It says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came." Okay, this is the first time. So the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." The dude is dead. I saw him die. He's dead. We've seen him. He's alive. Thomas is going, so what's Thomas say? But Thomas says to them, "Unless I see his hands and the marks made by the nails and put my fingers in the nail prints and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." Thomas says, "Dude, no. Unless I see it with my own eyes, I'm not going to believe it." Verse 26, 8 days later, Jesus' disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them this time. And Jesus came, though they were behind closed doors, and stood among them and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, I want you to see something here. Jesus singles out Thomas immediately. Immediately singles out. Watch how tender. Watch how loving. Watch how careful he deals with Thomas here. Listen to this. He said to Thomas, "Reach out your fingers here and see my hands. Jesus said, here, look at me. Look. I got holes. Look. I got these scars. Look at them." He says, "Thomas, look at this, Thomas. And put your hand and place it, in my side. You know, when they stuck that spear in Jesus' side, there would have been a gash probably 3-4 inches wide, deep. They did that because they went up in and cut your heart. And there was anything that was there was done. Come out. They cut your heart. Thomas. Check this out. Thomas touched Jesus' scars. And he put his hand in his side. He touched the heart of God. That's something. He touched the heart of God. Listen to this. He says, put your ear in my side. And he says, do not be faithless, but believe. You ever see Jesus when he talked to you bunch of broods of vipers? I mean, you know, he was pretty self-explanatory. But Thomas, he's very gentle with, he's very tender with. And look at what Thomas says. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, Thomas, you believe. Blessed and happy to be envied are those who have never seen me and have believed, trusted me. He wasn't mean. He wasn't nasty. He wasn't anything to Thomas. He just showed Thomas. It was him. That's something. Jesus came to where Thomas was. If Thomas would not have seen the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrected body, he would never have believed he was alive. He could hear these guys talking. He had all these people saying, hey, we've seen you, we've seen the Lord. Yeah. And he's like, I got to see it with my own eyes. That's something? Not too impressive, is it? No, it's not. Let's look at somebody else. Let's look at Peter. Everybody know who Peter is? The Rock. I didn't write this verse down, but Matthew, I think it's Matthew 16. I'll read this to you. I want to read you to it out of the Amplified because Jesus talks a lot to his disciples, tells them a lot of things about different things. I want to read just Matthew 16. The Lord Jesus Christ is talking to Peter. Now, we all know Peter. John MacArthur calls Peter the disciple with the foot-shaped mouth. Because he was always sticking that foot in his mouth. He was the kind of guy, you said something, he was just, before his mind even reacted, he was saying something. He was saying it. That was Peter. That's the kind of guy he was. Jesus in Matthew 16 and verse 18 says, he's talking to him, he says, Simon, he asks Peter, he says, who do you say I am? He says, you are the Christ. And in verse 18 he says, and I tell you, you are Peter. And the Greek word here is Petrus. It's a large rock. It's a large piece of rock. That's why Peter the Rock, called him Peter the Rock. It's a large piece of rock. And on this rock, it's a different Greek word. On this rock, it's a Greek Petra. It is a huge rock like the Rock of Gibraltar. Huh? He says, Peter, you're that little rock. But on this big rock, this immovable mountain, I'm going to build my church. Tell Peter this, okay? And a guy like Peter, you don't tell that because what's he going to do? I'm somebody now. Look at me. That was Peter. You know anybody like that? Don't anybody like that? Okay. I know some people like that. But anyway, so that's a little bit of backside. So let's go look at Peter. Let's go to John. We might as well start at the beginning. Let's go to John chapter 13. I want to build you some stuff here. I want to show you some stuff. You can look at the Bible, you can study the same verse for a year, and you'll get something out of it next year that you didn't get last year. Isn't that incredible? Is that just because I'm too stupid to see it? Probably, yeah. Well, let's look at some stuff here. John chapter 13, I want to read some stuff here. Let's start in verse 33. It says, Jesus says, little children, I am to be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, you are not able to come where I am going. Pretty plain speech, right? He says, I've been telling you, you're not going to be able to go where I'm going. Okay. And he says in verse 34, I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another just as I have loved you, so that you too should love one another. What is our motivation for what we do? Is it love? Lord Jesus Christ's motivation was love for you. That's something. Verse 35, by this shall all men know you are my disciples if you love one another. Here comes that disciple with a foot-shaped mouth. Here he comes. Peter, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Where are you going? Jesus said, you are not able to follow me now where I'm going, but you shall follow me afterwards. Jesus says, yep, you can't follow me, but you're going to. And here comes Peter. Peter says to the Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. I'll die right here for you. We said, right? I'll die right here. Right now, today, this minute, I'll die for you. What's Jesus telling? Will you really lay down your life for me? I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Wow. Jesus tells Peter flat out, he says, you know, you'll die. Will you die for me right now? Really? Really you will? Before the rooster crows tomorrow, you're going to deny me 3 times. We've all seen that, right? Okay. Doesn't say what Peter says. I'm sure there was some kind of verbal out of his, but doesn't show that. Let's go to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. And this is, they've been to the garden. The soldiers came. They've taken Jesus. Peter's cut off. And I'm okay, guys, let me ask you a question. If somebody's trying to take something that you really want to keep, and you got a sword, and the best you can do is cut off somebody's ear, really? I mean, really? I can just, you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking, really? That's the best you can do? I mean, you know what I mean? Come on. I mean, you know, yeah. That's Peter. Isn't that something? I always thought that was funny. Here we go, John 18. In verse 14, we'll start there. It was Caiaphas who had counseled the Jews that it was expedient and for their welfare that one man should die for the people. Now Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus, and that disciple was known to the high priest. So he entered along with Jesus into the court of the palace of the high priest. Verse 16. But Peter was standing outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the maid who kept the door and brought Peter in. Okay. Then the maid who was in charge of the door said to Peter, aren't you one of his disciples? Weren't you with that man? What's Peter do? I wasn't. I don't know what you're talking about. No. That's one. Okay. So, verse 18. Now the servants and the guard intended had made a fire of coals. I have never seen this before this week. A fire of coals. This word for coals is anthrakia. It's used 2 times in the New Testament. Period. Exclamation point. It's a fire of coals. So I thought, that's kind of weird. What's that? What does that entail? Anthrakia is a coal, and I'll read this to you. It's a variety of mineral coal containing very little volatile hydrocarbons, burning with almost no flame. It has a strange smell. Ever burn coal that's sulfury? It doesn't have that. It has a funny smell. It's all by itself. It's a different smell. Okay, remember this. We're going to visit that again. Coal. Okay, so they make this coal. For it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves, and Peter was standing with them, warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered him, I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where the Jews congregate. I have spoken nothing secretly. Why do you ask me? Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me and what I've said. See, they know what I said. But when he had said this, one of the attendants who stood by struck Jesus, saying, is that how you answer the high priest? And Jesus replied, if I had said anything wrong, if I had spoken anything, tell me what was wrong with it. But if I had spoken rightly and properly, why do you strike me? And then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. But, verse 25, but Simon Peter was standing and was warming himself still. They said to him, weren't you one of his disciples? And he said, I'm not. And one of the high priest's servants off.
Sid, did I not see you in the garden with him? What's Peter say? And again, Peter denied it, and immediately a rooster crowed. 3.
Now, in a different, I think it said in Luke 22, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ, when that rooster crowed, looked at Peter. And they were close enough to see one another. And Jesus looked at Peter. Peter looked at Jesus and knew what he said was true. He had failed miserably. And in Luke it says he goes out and weeps bitterly. Because he knew he had let the Lord down.
If I was Jesus, Peter's gone. He's out of there. I'm going to get a different rock to build my church on. What do you think? Huh?
This guy is pretty much worthless, right? He's useless, right? And then I look in the mirror. And I see myself. And I think, boy, you're worthless. And I am. And the only thing I am is when I have the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. That power that comes from Him. Isn't that something? Okay. So he failed miserably. Our old buddy Peter, he screwed up big time, didn't he? All right. Let's go to John 21. Just a couple of chapters over. I want to show you a couple of things. I read through this, and I was excited about this because it was like, I had never seen some of this stuff before. Don't you get excited when you never see something before and you read the Bible? I'm the only one? Wow. It's a good thing I have a room. I told you I have a room with no windows and only one door, and I can go and scream and holler and run around there and beat my head on the wall and do whatever I want. Nobody knows. Huh? I get excited. And I read this, and I started doing some word studies, and let's take a look at it. Verse 21. Now, to this point, Peter, he's denied Jesus 3 times. Okay, we've been through the tomb. Peter has ran to the tomb, seen the tomb is empty. Nobody's there. He's seen Jesus in the room with Thomas and all the other disciples, 11 disciples, twice now at least. Okay, things are going on. He's met Jesus, resurrected after he died, right? Chapter 21 says, and after this, Jesus let himself be seen and revealed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he did it in this way. There were together Simon Peter. Okay. Thomas. Thomas is there. Called the twin. Nathanael from Cana of Galilee. And also the sons of Zebedee and 2 others of the disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. I'm tired of waiting around. I'm going fishing. That's what they did. Going fishing. And they said to him, we're coming with you. We're going fishing. We're all going fishing. We're going fishing. So they go out into the boat, and throughout the night they caught nothing. You ever been fishing and caught nothing? Pretty boring, isn't it? After a while you're like, huh? Oh, good. This is a good day for a nap. Huh? And that's what you do, isn't it? You go to sleep. You just go to sleep. It just goes away the way you want. Huh? Right? You go home and tell the wife, man, hitting her hard all day fishing. Man, didn't get a bite. I was at it working. You were sleeping. Just admit it. You were sleeping. So they catch nothing. Morning was already breaking when Jesus came to the beach and stood there. However, the disciples didn't know it was him. They didn't know it was Jesus. Somehow he hid himself from them knowing it's him. They're out in the boat fishing. So Jesus says to them, in the Greek it's boys or children, hey, boy. Do you have any fish? Anything to eat? And this little fish word sometimes is translated meat, maybe in here. It's just a little morsel. It's something you have with your brick. It's a little something on a cracker. A little something to eat. Jesus says, you got anything? What do they say? No! My Bible has an exclamation point behind no. So it's like, no, we ain't got it. What are you asking for? You know what I mean? You get that, you got any fish? No! Huh? That's what he does. And Jesus says to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Jesus said, just cast that net on the other side of the boat. Go ahead. So they cast the net, and now they were not able to haul it in for such a big catch. They caught some fish. They were lots of fish. They caught lots of fish, didn't they? And the disciple whom Jesus loved... John always refers to himself as that. If you ever see that, the disciple that Jesus loved, that's John. He's just saying, he don't say his own name, he says, the disciple of. He says to Peter, it's the Lord. reason, John says, "It's the Lord." Simon Peter, hearing him say that it was the Lord, put on his upper garment, his fisherman's tunic, for he was working, and sprang into the sea. Now, it seemed kind of backwards. When you bring in the water, don't you take clothes off? I don't want to put a heavy coat on and jump in the water, do you? That's what Peter does. It's the kind of guy he is. And the other disciples came in the small boat, for they were not far from shore, only some 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. They had a bunch of fish. Verse 9, when they got on the land, they saw a fire of, what was that? What's that? Coals. This is the second place it's used. Check us out. And fish were lying on it, cooking and bread. Check us out. You ever have us smell something and brings back a memory? I mean, you know what I'm saying. It can be food. It can be a perfume. I mean, my mom had a perfume. Whenever I smell that, it reminds me of my mother, right? And this has been 18 years ago. My mother's been gone. I still, when I smell that, I think of her, right? Okay, think about this. They get to shore. Peter gets to shore. And there's this fire of coals burning and that smell. Ooh. Huh? Never caught that before, do you? So Peter, right away, immediately, is probably having flashbacks to when Jesus is looking at him saying, "Well, three times, brother, you're going to deny me, and that rooster's going to crow, and it's going to be three times." He's thinking of that. Okay. Got that. Coals. There's coals. There's burning. There's coals. They're cooking bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net to land full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many of them, the net was not torn. You ever look up that 153 fish? Why did he say 153? At 100. At 200. Does it matter? It was a bunch of fish, right? But he picks out the number 153. When you get a chance, go look at a bunch of commentaries and study up on it. They don't have a clue. Why did he say 153? I got a little book. It's a little thin book. And it's mathematics, biblical mathematics of the Bible. And it tells you what these numbers mean, okay? I'll read you this. 153. This guy does this, and this is the only place this number is found. He says, number 17 is the number for victory. Multiplied by 9, which is the number for the fruit of the Spirit, gives you 153. Okay? So this number 153 signifies the victory brought about in bearing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Why 153? Because you said you're going to bear some fruit, brother. It's going to be good stuff. 153. The net is so full, and they keep bringing it up, but it didn't break. That should have broke, right? There's too many fish in that, but it didn't. Thus, we are given a beautiful picture of the victory obtained by the saints of God as we bear fruit for Him in this life. Yay! Isn't that cool? That's not even on the subject of what we're talking about, but I want to show you that. 153, that's pretty cool. Huh? Okay, so we got 153 fish in this thing. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. But none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Because they all knew it was Jesus. Jesus came and took the bread and gave to them, so also with the fish. Okay, here we go. This was now the third time Jesus revealed himself to the disciples. Check it out! Peter denies him three times. This is the third time Jesus has showed himself to the disciples. Three. The number of Trinity, right? Perfect three. I get excited about stuff. You guys know you guys are like doing that. Listen. He says, Jesus, after he risen, and when, verse 15, when they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Son of John, do you agapeo me? Do you love me?" There's two words for love here. I'm going to tell you what these are. Agapeo is a divine, godly love. It is love. It's love. It's divine, godly love. Jesus Christ asked Peter, "Do you divinely love me? Do you love me? Do you really, 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 really love me?" And what's Peter say?
Peter says to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I phileo you." Peter says, "You know I phileo you. I just love you with a friendship type of love, you know." This is probably not a very good analogy, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Last Sunday, this came to me and I was driving home. I thought, okay, Father. Okay, you got a man and a woman here. The man says, "You know what? I really, really love you. I love you. I love you. I love you." And the woman goes, "I love you too, but we just want to be friends right now." Catch that? Everybody ever have that? That's what Peter does to Jesus. Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And Peter goes, "Let's just be friends. Let's just be friends. I see what happened to you. I just want to be friends." Huh? That's the analogy here. He says, "Do you really, really love me?" Peter says, "You know I love you. As a friend. Friendship type of love." What does Jesus say to him? "Feed my lambs." Now, this word for feed means to nourish, provide food. And the word for lambs here is a new convert. Jesus says, "If you love me, I want you feed and nourish my new converts." Okay? Starts out slow. Jesus asks him this question, if he loves it. He comes down. Okay, let's go on. I want to get ahead of myself. Again, he said to him the second time, "Son of John, do you love me?" John, he says, "Peter, do you love me with the divine? Do you agapea? Do you love me?" Peter says to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He says, "Yeah, you know I want to be friends with you." You catching this? "You know I want to be friends with you." Jesus says to him, "Shepherd my sheep." Shepherd here means the whole office of the shepherd. It's guiding, it's guarding, it's folding, it's providing pasture, it's everything. Jesus says, "Now you guard, you take care of." And the sheep here, the word for sheep, is the lost ones of Israel. So Jesus says, "You take care of my new converts? You take care of the lost sheep of Israel? Huh? You shepherd them? Huh?" He's getting bigger, right? Peter's still just, "I just want to be friends." And Jesus says to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you phileo me?" Jesus comes down to Peter's level because Peter can't come up to his. He says, "Peter, do you want to be friends?" Do you want to be friends? What's Peter say? Peter was grieved that he should ask him a third time. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three. How many times did Jesus ask Peter if he was going to take care of his sheep, if he loved him? Three. Isn't that cool? Peter says, "You know I love you." He asked him, "Do you love?" He said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." He's saying provide food. And this word for sheep, listen to this. These little sheep, those of the fold of the sheep under the care of the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Peter could not come up to Christ's level of loving him. So Jesus came down to his. Isn't that cool? Don't you get excited about that? Look at me, how pathetic I am. I mean, I got a new shirt. Had some clean pants on. I took a shower, shaved this morning. Look pretty good. Well, maybe. Yeah, look pretty good. Right? Look pretty good, right? It's what's inside. You can't see it. That's what God looks at. God knows that I'm going to fail him miserably. You get that? I'm going to fail him miserably. And he's still going to come and meet me where I'm at. Isn't that cool? So, this Thomas guy, this doubting Thomas guy, What happened to him? There's not another word mentioned to him in the Bible, period. Maybe Acts 1, he's with the disciples. You know what I mean? That's it. Didn't say where he went, what he did. They believe that Thomas was instrumental. There's ancient testimony that suggests that Thomas carried the gospel as far as India. Remember this guy that touched the heart of God? Remember that spear that the Lord Jesus Christ took in his side? Thomas touches that heart of God. There's a small hill near an airport in Chennai, Madras, India. They say that's where Thomas is buried. And the lore says that Thomas was martyred, run through with a spear. It's a man who touched the heart of God because the spear that cut the Lord Jesus' side was killed with a spear through his heart. Isn't that something? That man got a hold of Jesus, and Jesus got a hold of him, and he went and did some pretty awesome things. Well, what about that Peter guy? He's going to screw up a lot, right? What about that Peter guy? Doesn't say. It says the Lord gives a little bit of what he's going to do. Peter, they say, he was crucified upside down because he said he was not worthy. And something that I'd never read before, I was doing some research on it, I wrote this down maybe. I guess it doesn't matter the names of it, I guess. But there's Josephus wasn't one of them, but Clements was one of them that wrote things back then that time. And he said that Peter was forced to watch his wife be crucified before he was crucified. Peter was married. And takes his wife on some apostolic journeys. We know that in Acts. We hear that in Acts. And it's said that when his wife was being taken to be crucified, he said, "Remember the Lord." That's what he told her, "Remember the Lord." When Peter's time to be crucified, he said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Savior was. I want to be crucified upside down." God got a hold of these people, didn't he? Huh? Jesus got a hold. The power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ got a hold of these people. I'm looking for the same thing for you. I'm looking for the same thing for everyone sitting here today, that the Lord is going to get a hold of you, and you're going to do some awesome stuff. Huh? Awesome stuff. And knowing, isn't it great to know that you're going to fail? Isn't it great? It's so lifting. I'm going to fail. But Jesus is going to meet me right where I am, in my failure. And he's going to make something awesome out of it. Huh? Keep reading John chapter 21. Down the end there, verse 25, it says, "There are also many other things which Jesus did that they couldn't report one by one in detail. I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books were written." Do you understand that if you choose to write or speak about the subject of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is an indispensable, unending, never-ending well of information you will never wear out. You'll never wear it out. You could speak, if I could speak for generation to generation to generation about the Lord Jesus Christ, it'd never run out. Isn't that incredible? So when you read this book and you see things in it this year you didn't see last year, that's pretty awesome, because it's one of those things, it's never going to run out. Isn't that awesome? All by myself here right now. Wow. It's pretty exciting to me to see what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing in people's lives. In my life, in your lives, it's pretty awesome to see him doing things. I hear people saying, "You know what? I can be a pastor. And I'm thinking, that's incredible. That's incredible. If they want to be a pastor. Huh? And I see people getting up and singing. I see people doing stuff, and I'm thinking, that's incredible. The Lord is meeting you right where you're at. And I think if we allow the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit to lead us, I think you're going to do some awesome things for the kingdom. Huh? Awesome things. So don't put yourself down. Don't put yourself down. We look at Peter. His mess up the road down. Most of mine you don't even know about. I screw up and I don't tell a soul. Nobody knows. God does it. He knows. But that's the cool thing. He's going to meet you right where you're at. You understand? understand Jesus is going to meet you right where you're at. I'll shut up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before you this morning. Father, we are so thankful that you know our frame, that you know how pathetic we really are. Father, we are so thankful that you still love us, that you can take someone that has messed up, even denied you, said they didn't know you, turn back to their old way of life. Father, you came and met them right where they were at. And you turned them into awesome ambassadors and disciples of yours. Father, I just ask that. I ask that the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood, his atoning sacrifice, falls on this church today, Father. And we can just feel his presence and know that he is God. He's working on our hearts. He's working on our minds. He knows exactly where we are. He's got something planned for us to do. And I just ask, Father, that your leading would be there so strong that we couldn't help but just do it, knowing that you are God and you're in it. You're there before us and you love us. No matter how bad it looks, no matter how much we mess it up, it will turn out to good because you're in it. Oh, Father, I just praise you, Father, you give us time to look at your word, to just dig out some nuggets of truth and power and strength for our own lives. And Father, we can just stand under everything that comes against us, knowing you are God and you're in the midst of it. We just thank you and praise you, Father. Father, in your precious name we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his blood, because there is power in that blood. We pray.